I've entitled this morning, The Bait. And because I want to reel you in and teach you something this morning. It's not one of those messages that is kind of, you know, full of jokes and whoopee-doo and all that. But actually, it's something that if we grasp a hold of this morning, it will change our life. And for some of us, it might mean unraveling a few things in our world. But if we get a hold of it, it will change our life. I want to read to you Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says this, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Or in another version, it says, for out of it, the boundary lines of your life are set. Guard your heart. Above all else, guard your heart. Over the next few times when I'm speaking, I want to look at the kind of atmosphere and culture that we want to bring into and grow within Generations Church. Because it's a new season, it's a new day, it's a new beginning, and we're going to grow some things that may not always be easy, but they're going to be life-giving. I don't know if you're with me on that. I want to be in a church where when I go there, I get life. And so this morning, we're going to do that. Proverbs 4:23 is a great place to start, because when we're looking at family values, both personally and corporately, your heart matters. My heart matters. It says this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, above all else. You know, when the Bible says those words, we should take note. The Bible doesn't say in Proverbs 4, guard your heart. It doesn't say, you know, guard your spirit. It says above all else, above everything else in your world, above everything else that you do, above everything else that you may think you are, above all of that, guard your heart. Because out of it flow the issues of life. The word heart that is used there, okay, in the original translation is the word lebab, and it simply means this: your mind, your knowledge, your thinking, your reflection. And then this really struck me as I was studying it, your memory. You know, we're not just talking about the physical heart, but we're talking about those things that as you look back in your life, you're going to remember. We're looking at your memories. Matt and I have decided, I was talking to our youth on Friday, that we're going to make a few memories this year as a family. And so straight after the service today, we're going to be heading off. I know that hopefully some of you are staying for stay and play, but we're going to be heading off and we're taking the kids to Blackpool, because every child should go to Blackpool once at least in their life. And it's lovely sunshine here. Apparently it's torrential rain in Blackpool, which is pretty normal, isn't it? Okay, but we're making memories, because as our kids look back on their life, we want them to remember some things like that. You know, we're taking them to the fairground tomorrow. It's the most expensive fairground ever, okay? But we're taking them to the fairground tomorrow, and like, they are so excited. They're so excited. And we're believing and we're praying that actually as our kids look back on their life, they remember things like this. They remember times as a family like this. As they look back, as they memorize, as they look back on things that have been, I want their memory to be good. So guess what? Above all else, I need to guard my heart. My heart, that place where I live from, that place where I get my knowledge from, that place where I get my joy from. The heart is the center of the place that you will make your decisions, the place that you will praise from, the place where we have a choice this morning of either joy growing or bitterness growing. Above all else, guard your heart, because that's where your decisions come from. That's where your life spring comes from. The condition of your heart will affect the experience of your life. Do you know that this morning? It's not circumstance that affects your experience, but it's the condition of your heart. Because if the condition of your heart is good, you can go through any experience, you can go through anything in life, and actually you will come out okay. Above all else, guard your heart. Because out of your heart, the boundary lines for your life are set. In that verse when it talks about the issues, it's the word totsar. I've no idea if that's how you pronounce it, okay? But that's how it looks, all right? And it means this, the extremity or the boundary or the border. Do you know what? God realizes that the capacity of our lives are set in our heart. The capacity of your life is not set through what you do. The capacity of your life is not set if others recognize you or if they don't. The capacity of your life is not set by the exam results that you will achieve maybe this year. The capacity of your life is not set in your marital status. It's not set in your family life. It's set in your heart. So above all else, guard your heart. Guard your heart, because out of your heart is where the boundary lines of your life are set. If you feel like you're hitting a brick wall constantly, don't just check your circumstance, check your heart. Because that's where things are set over your life. So we need to guard our heart then from two types of things. Number one, we need to guard our hearts from self-grown things. Do you know what? The condition of my heart has not just got to do with my relationships with other people or the circumstance of my life. I can grow things myself. What was it John Pett said last week? Okay, I am my own problem. I love that line. Okay, there's part of me that doesn't like it, but a lot of me that did. I am my own problem. Do you know what? There are things that grow in your heart that have nothing to do with anyone else. We can try and blame someone else, but that's something that we grow in our heart ourselves. Okay? Things like pride. We grow that ourselves. Cynicism, arrogance, apathy, sin, the perception that we have on life. And there are more things. We grow these things in our own hearts. And if we leave these things unchecked, our hearts become vulnerable. And let me tell you that when our hearts are vulnerable, our enemy prowls around. What does the Bible say? Like a roaring lion. When your heart is vulnerable because of things that you have grown in it, do not be surprised when circumstances then come against you. And those things I can grow all by myself. I don't need any help from math. Okay, I don't need any help in our marriage, if we're having a struggle time, which we're not. But if we were, I don't need any help from him to grow those things. They're self-grown. You know, I don't profess to be a gardener. I cannot grow many things. I kill more than I grow. I wish that was true sometimes in the heart things. I wish I could kill more than I allowed to grow sometimes. You know, but we've got to be careful of things that are self-grown. We've got to keep a check on our heart. We've got to keep a check on our spirit. We've got to be careful of those things that grow in our hearts that are going to take us away from the path that God has got for us. Whatever age we are in here this morning, there are things that can be grown in our hearts that God doesn't want there. And we've got to become someone who, above all else, we guard our heart. The second thing that we need to guard our heart from is things planted there by others. Our life experiences, our hurts, our circumstances. We have to guard what we let in to take up residence in our hearts. You cannot always control life. Anyone know that in here this morning? You can't control life. You can't control others. You can't always control circumstance, but you can control what you allow in to your heart. So this morning, guard your heart. You know, we're going to keep coming back to this today. Guard your heart. The seeds of what we allow in will grow and produce a harvest in us. That thing, when it gets in, that makes us vulnerable. It might be from a circumstance or a hurt or whatever. That thing that gets in, normally when it gets in, it's small. It's in seed form. But you know, some of the biggest trees grow from some of the smallest seeds. Let me tell you, once a seed has been planted in your heart, if you do not get rid of it, it will produce a harvest in your life. It will produce a harvest in your family. It will produce a harvest within our church. And we've got to be careful and guard our hearts. Every seed planted has within it a crop that can grow unless we get rid of it straight away. And the thing that I want to talk to us about this morning, and really major on this, is the whole issue of offense. And if you've been in church long enough, you'll have probably been through this at least once, where something that someone said, or something that somebody's done, or something that someone hasn't said, or you know, they were wearing the wrong clothes on Sunday, or it could be anything, okay? When we're in a big group of people and we are all very different, offense is very easily caused. And I want to deal with that issue this morning because I want us to grow a church that will deal with stuff, not sweep it under the carpet, but that will deal with stuff in a right way so that offense has no chance of growing inside this family. And if I was talking to my two kids, I know that they're too small probably at the moment, but we're starting now. If they begin to argue, I saw this thing on how to deal with siblings who argue. And it's simply this: you make them stand holding hands for like 10 minutes. And you go away and you leave them and they've got to hold hands. And you know, they stand there and they don't like it at all at the beginning. And you know, they want to break hands. No, you hold hands. You have been arguing, you hold hands. I am so going to try this with my two kids. And they could spend a lot of time holding hands together. And every young person who is a parent in the house really does not like me at the moment. Okay? But they stand holding. And then you get them to talk about the thing that they just argued about. Do you know what? I know it might be a silly illustration and we're not going to make people do that in church. That's okay. Do not worry about that. Okay. So if you see, you know, oh no, you know, Paul and James have been having a little fight, stood at the back of the church holding hands. Okay. That's not going to be happening. All right. It's not going to be happening. But the thing is, we've got to become a church who actually learns to deal with stuff when it comes up, rather than allowing offense to become so deep rooted in our lives that actually to get rid of it takes a heck of a lot. A lot of hours, a lot of hurt, a lot of tears, a lot of argument, a lot of, you know, atmosphere. I hate atmospheres. I don't want to be in a place where offense brings in an atmosphere. Offense has been termed by some the bait of Satan. Okay, the bait of Satan. And if you want to catch something and entrap it, you set down the right bait. We were at our friend's house last October, and they live just down past London, I think. Well, it's down south, so, and you've got to go past London, so it's past London. I'm no good at geography. And they live in a house, and all around the house is like fields, which you can tell it's past London when you say that, can't you? And so like we went and stayed in their house, and it was the last evening, and me and Caitlin were just sat watching TV, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of our eye, we saw something move. And it wasn't another one of the kids, okay? We saw something move. And so we looked, and we saw this mouse, just like, I don't do mice, okay? We saw this mouse sat there, and I'm like, okay, I've got Caitlin sat next to me, who can very easily get phobias about things. I just have to deal with this. And so I'm like, right, let's go and talk to Uncle Dave. So got her out of the room, got me out of the room, actually. And she says, Uncle Dave, there's a mouse in the lounge. And so Uncle Dave got this trap out, a very humane trap. It wouldn't have been my kind of trap. Okay, and I got one of those ones that kind of flipped the thing down and squashed the mouse. That would have been my kind of trap. No, this wasn't. And basically, it was like a little house for a little mouse. And he put some cheese inside the little house, and eventually the little mouse scuttled into the little house, and as he did so, this thing shut behind him. So he was trapped inside the house. Now, the mouse couldn't get out until we lifted the door again and let him in. And the kids were very excited at going and letting this mouse out into the garden. I wasn't, because if it got in once, could get in again. But we were going home in about 15 minutes, so I wasn't really all that bothered. Okay, but he kind of set this trap, and eventually the mouse, and you heard the door slam as the mouse walked in and got the cheese off the trap bit inside it. And all of a sudden, the thing came out, and you heard it go down. Do you know what? Offense is a little bit like that with us. It's a great bait, okay, for our enemy to put down, and he just begins to give us that bait of offense, you know. They looked at you the wrong way this morning. And if you are that way in mind on that particular day, and you get these thoughts coming into your head, they didn't speak to you today. You know, what have you done? You've not done anything, have you? They're just being awkward. They're just, and all of a sudden the bait is set. And what happens is, as we begin to allow those thoughts to kind of get into our heart, above all else, guard your heart. As we begin to allow those thoughts to get into our heart, all of a sudden the door slams behind it, because the trap that has been set for us has totally and utterly worked. And all of a sudden there is a seed of offense in our heart, and we don't know what we're going to do with it. Because our mind is telling us one thing, because, you know, when you don't guard your heart is your mind. It's your place of knowledge. It's your place that you reflect from. And all of a sudden you're reflecting on, well, they did that. And, you know, it's not my fault. And they spoke to me in this tone. Or you get a text messages or emails are terrible, aren't they? Because you can't see tone. You can't hear tone in them, so you make it up. Anyone else do that? Or is it just me? I will hold my hands up to that. If I am that way out, okay, if I'm not having a good day and Matt sends me a text, I can make up the tone. And then what happens is, when he gets home, he receives said tone in how I speak to him. And he's not done anything wrong. He sent me a text that was probably very loving and very kind, because that's the kind of husband he is. And I've taken it to mean, the house is a tip. You've not done any work. Come on, get to the sink, woman, and let's sort it out. And he's not said anything like that. He'll have probably said, Joe, do I need to get cleaning equipment from the supermarket? And I take it, why is it? Because I've not used the last lot. Don't tell me none of you do that. You're looking at me as if to say, and you're the pastor. Yeah, I am. And I'm absolutely human. Because if I'm that way out, if my hormones are going wild, that is what I will think. You say it's because you're not seeing the house clean in like a couple of weeks. Well, what are you actually saying with that? Actually, what he's saying is, love, do I need to buy any flash? That's what he's saying. He's not saying anything else. But the thing is, once the trap is set, and once you walk into the trap, once you go to get the bait, once you allow it to take root in your heart, you are got. And it doesn't matter what you do after that. Sometimes, once you're got, offense comes out of everywhere. It's not just the original person who's offended you that you stay offended with. And the reality is this, that offense is not given. Offense is something that we choose to take. Offense is something that I choose to take, that I choose to grab a hold of, and that I choose to take. You know, don't become a farmer of offense, because if you do, your heart becomes the field that grows it. And whatever you allow in seed form will produce a harvest within you. Unmanaged offense will take you where you never wanted to go. It will sever relationships that should never be severed and build ones that will not serve you well. And I tell you this, offense gives our enemy a ladder to climb inside of our lives and to reach places in us that he should never go. And what I want to do is, I want to look at a story in the Bible about one of David's sons. So we're going to turn to 2 Samuel 15. If you've got your Bibles with you. And I want to read us just a few verses from there. We're going to start at verse 1. And this is the story of Absalom. Okay, and I'll give you some background in a moment. But it says this, in the course of time, Absalom provided himself with a chariot and horses with 50 men to run ahead of him. He would get up early and stand by the side of the road leading to the city gate. This is the city that David ruled, his father. Whenever anyone came with a complaint to be placed before the king for a decision, Absalom would call out to him, "What town are you from?" He would answer, "Your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel." Then Absalom would say to him, "Look, your claims are valid and proper, but there is no representative of the king here to hear you." And Absalom would add, "If only I were appointed judge in the land, then everyone who has a complaint or case could come to me, and I would see that they would receive justice." Also, whenever anyone approached him to bow down before him, Absalom would reach out his hand, take hold of him, and kiss him. Absalom behaved in this way towards all the Israelites who came to the king asking for justice, and so he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. Absalom had been out of the country for a while. This is the background, and I won't go into the background. You can read it in 2 Samuel in the chapters before. Okay, Absalom had murdered his brother, Amnon. Okay, so Amnon, before he was killed, had behaved very, very badly to his sister Tamar. And you can read the account in 1 Samuel 13 through to 15. And so Absalom was absolutely enraged with what Amnon had done. And so he went and he killed Amnon. And so David kind of is met with this scenario. And so David had to decide how to deal with what Absalom had done. He didn't necessarily disagree with him, but he had to decide how to deal with the situation that had arisen. And so he said to Absalom, listen, you just need to go away while this all dies down. That's what needs to happen. And so he sent Absalom away. He didn't send him away. We don't read that David sent him away in anger or anything like that. He sent him away so he could resolve the situation that they found themselves in. And theologians tell us that actually it was while Absalom was away, while he was on his own, that offense took root in his heart and in his life. And what I want to do is we're going to look at 1 Samuel 18 in a little while as well. And look at what happened because of the offense that Absalom took. We don't read that David did anything wrong at all. But Absalom took offense. Offense wasn't given. Offense was taken. And so from the few verses that we just read in 1 Samuel 15, I want to look at 4 things that Absalom did because of the offense that had taken root in his heart. Okay, are you ready for these? 4 things. I wonder how many of us have done some of them. You may not want to respond to that. I do understand that. But as I've been studying it, I'm challenged by these 4 things. What did Absalom do because of the offense that was in his heart? 1, he put himself on the fringes of the kingdom. He put himself on the fringes. He used to go so David couldn't see him. The leaders of the country, of the kingdom couldn't see him. But everyone who was vulnerable would get to meet him. He put himself on the fringes. Usually offended people are never in the main crowd. They normally hang on the outside watching what is going on. And that usually feeds the offense. Absalom hung out on the fringes of the city of the kingdom. He didn't want David to see him, but he wanted to catch everyone that was vulnerable that was walking into the city. Have you ever been offended? And you just sit and watch what is going on the what you say is the inside. And you sit and you make judgments and all of a sudden you can see, okay, actually that person's not really happy either. I'm going to attach myself to them. This was the deal that not one person going into the city when they were walking in there had any beef with David at all. Not one of them had anything that they felt bad towards David. They wanted to talk to him or they wanted to talk to one of the leaders, but actually they didn't have anything against him at all. And then Absalom, on the fringes of things, not in the middle, doesn't really know what's going on. He's on the fringes of things. He put himself on the outside. Secondly, he made the king look bad. What was it he said to them? That there was no representative for them in the kingdom. How did he know that? You know, but if I was king, if they appointed me judge, I'd sort it for you. There's no one in there who's going to help you. But actually, if I was there, I would help you. All of a sudden, he's feeding something to someone else, making the leadership of the kingdom look very bad. Offended people do that. Offended people will pull others down to promote themselves. And we've got to watch that as things take root sometimes in our lives. Offended people often are the ones who want to create division in the kingdom, in the family. Offense happens in families all the time. If you don't believe that, try doing wedding seating. Yeah. Some of you are with me now, okay? And all of a sudden, you can't sit Auntie Mabel next to her because they haven't spoken for 50 years. And you can't do this and you can't do that because there's offense. And it creates division. It creates division in the family. It creates division in the workplace. It creates division in the house of God. And we've got to guard our hearts against it. So he made the king look bad. Number three, he manipulated people to like him. Right. Says further down that he would meet them with a hug and with a kiss. Right. He kissed and hugged them, telling them that he could do more for them than anybody else could. You know, people who are offended don't wear signs saying, "I am offended. Don't come near me because you may become offended too." Okay? They don't act in a certain way. But this morning I want to say, as we guard our hearts, we've got to watch. Not everybody who hugs and kisses us has our best interests at heart. And fourthly, he shared his offense. He pulled others into the offense he has. Offended people will always find others to join the rant. Always. And even if you don't have the same rant at the beginning, you will have at the end. Okay, they always find people who are going to join in with what you see. We've got to guard our hearts, church, because we want to grow a place, you know, where it's not going to be like that. We have to be careful with offense, as it will cloud every single judgment we have. And what I want to do in the next 15 minutes is to look at what we can learn from the story of Absalom. And we're going to turn over in a moment into 1 Samuel 18, and we're going to look at how he died, because actually that's quite significant in this whole story. Okay? So three things that we can learn from Absalom. Number one, and this is the key, and if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. He should have spoken to David. Okay? David offended him. David didn't do anything wrong, but he offended him. When that took root, he should have gone to his dad and said, you know, Dad, even if he could see what he was doing, it just offends me that I'm cut off. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know how to take it. When he came back, the Bible tells us just before 1 Samuel 15 in chapter 14 that when he first came back, he was in the country for 2 years. And David was getting on with leading the kingdom, and he felt alone and all of those things. He should have talked to David. Do you know what? If someone offends you, even if it's not their fault, because I don't know if you've ever met those people who just by getting up in the morning are going to offend someone. I think I am one of those people, okay? Just sometimes by walking into a room, they offend someone. The thing is, you've got to go and talk to them. If we hear nothing else from today than this, when you get offended, find the person and talk to them. Talk to them. Let's be a church who talk about things, who don't sweep it somewhere down into the depths of our heart, because what we sweep down into the depths of our heart is going to grow in the harvest through usually our mouth and our actions. Okay, let's be people who we talk. Even if some of the conversations are difficult, or we let people know, this is how I feel. Maybe if you're not brilliant at talking, maybe writing a letter and then talking about it. You know, there are ways that we can let people know when we're struggling. Offense is a way of taking us on a journey that will only bring us harm, and that will harm those who are innocent around us. Because the thing is this, that usually the person who has offended you has no idea. I can remember once, I won't say where I was because then people would guess who I'm talking about, but or if they ever heard the podcast. But I can remember talking to an old leader of mine, and brilliant leader, absolutely. He was one of those people who, you know, whenever he got up, he could very easily offend someone. And I can remember him saying that, you know, they did something on offense just before communion one day in the church that we were in. And he sat there praying on the front, agreeing with the person who's talking, and like, yes, God, that's brilliant. And he's just praying. And then he looks up, and there is literally a queue of people who want to come and talk to him. And I was in the meeting. No, there was a queue of people who were just waiting for him to look up to go, right, okay, we're coming to put it right with you. You see, the thing is, we've got to learn to be people who do it right. That was done in quite a wrong way. I mean, I don't know how I would feel if, you know, the whole of you lined up, you know, before communion, and I just need to tell you this, Joe, this is what you've done, this is what you did. I think I'd go home an absolute wreck. you know? But I want to say to us this morning, when offense begins to take root in us, usually the person who's offended us has no idea what they have done. And they go on with their lives. And I don't know if you've ever been offended. I have. They go on with their lives. And you find yourself sitting there and going, I can't believe that they're going out when they've done that to me. That they are enjoying themselves. That they are going out with that. And especially with social media, you know. Let's just Instagram it and, you know, out having a great time. Oh, you're having a great time. Great. I'm sat here wounded. I'm sat here hurting, but you're out having a great time. And that the sarcasm goes on the, like, you know, the reply that you send. Or you sit there and go, I will not reply. And you defriend them. And then you think, no, actually, I want to know what you're doing. I'm going to refriend you. Because the thing is, when offense takes root, the person has no idea what they've done, but you then begin to add to it. You begin to add to it. So actually, the fact that you're having a nice time right now, I'm becoming offended about as well. When actually, at the beginning, if we'd have just talked, probably wouldn't be carrying on now. You know, especially as we grow in church, as we grow numerically, as we grow our leadership. Do you know what? People think leaders are mind readers. We're really not. I don't look out on a Sunday morning and I cannot tell what every person is thinking right now as I am preaching. Because even sometimes when you're smiling at me, you're not thinking that. And I know that because I've been in leadership for 23 years. And you think, yes, that person got it this morning. And then, you know, you get there. Can I just come and see you about something you said? You're like, oh, I thought you'd got it. Thought we'd done all right then. But you know, as different people begin to rise up and take their calling, in church life, there is huge space for offense to take place. Huge space. From the songs we pick to the people who preach and sometimes a throwaway comment we might make, if you're like me, and go off on a tangent. And we need to get better at that, or I need to get better at that. But I want to say to us today, let's not allow offense to pull us down. Do you know what? There are people here. There are people not here today because of offense. There are people who should be sat next to you today who are not here. And all it was offense. It was a seed of something small that grew into something big that meant they walked out on the house they should have been in. So we need to talk to one another. The second thing we can learn from Absalom is that we need to beware of people like Absalom. We need to be very aware of people like that. 2 Samuel 15:13 says this, a messenger came to David and told him, the hearts of the people of Israel are with Absalom. Absalom had managed by sitting on the fringe to get a whole nation or a whole massive group of people to follow him. And David had not got a clue what was going on. We've got to be aware of people who are dealing with offense. And we need to make sure that we don't be people who take others away from where God wants them. We've got to be people who don't taint others' spirit with offense. You know what? Offense is not circumstance. Offense is a spirit. And it's a spirit that if not dealt with, will stay with you wherever you go. So if the offense comes, you know, through a church, let's say, because that's where we are. If offense comes through a church and you leave, you will take it to the next church. Because it's not a circumstance, it's not a leader, it's not another person. It's a spirit that we allow into our lives that we need to learn to deal with. And we've got to watch those people who struggle with that spirit. Do you know there are three sides to every single story that you will ever hear? There's theirs, and then there's the truth. And what we normally do is we make our judgment on one person's story, on one side of it. Do you know wise people are going to go, that's their side. I'm just going to go and ask them. And then I'm going to find something in the middle that is going to be something like the truth. So if someone left a church in a bad way and came here, I'd want to talk to their leader from the previous church. Because you know what? It's not all the previous church's fault. I'm not saying, I don't know. Don't know what the situation might be. But it's not all their fault. And some churches wouldn't do that. But I think I would if I knew someone had left in a way where they're offended. Because they're going to carry that spirit into my church. And I don't want that spirit permeating and taking the lives of my sheep, of my people. Because we want to grow a church where actually we can talk to one another, where we love one another genuinely, and where God can do what he wants to do. Now, one of the Israelites let their leader know what was happening. They just listened to Absalom. Come on, let's be people that really deal with stuff. You know, I know this isn't one of those, you know, messages that's going to send you into your week going, you know, destiny and all that. But you know what? It's one of those messages that if we don't get to grips with it, it's going to steal your destiny. You're not going to have one. Because offense is going to take over if we don't guard our heart. And then the third thing is simply this, and I really want to nail this one this morning, is that offense will live longer than you will. 1 Samuel 18 tells us a story of David's death. Now, I'm going to use a bit of preacher's license here, okay, as we do this. All right, so we're going to read from verse 9 in 1 Samuel 18. It says this, now Absalom happened to meet David's men, happened to meet. That is a very nice way of putting, he totally and utterly went out to get them, okay? He was riding his mule, and as the mule went under the thick branches of a large oak, Absalom's hair got caught in the tree, and he was left hanging in midair. When the mule he was on kept riding. When one of the men saw what had happened, he told Joab, I have just seen Absalom hanging in an oak tree. I love the Bible. Like, where else would come up with that tale? Basically, the mule goes under the oak tree and he's left hanging there. And actually, that is how he dies. Okay, he's left hanging in this oak tree. And I want to take the moment, the preacher's license, that says that the mule is not just the mule, because it wasn't the mule really that carried him to fight David's men. It was the offense. It was the offense that carried him to fight his father's men. And it was the offense that took him out. It was the offense that left him hanging. It was the offense that took his life. And I want to say to you, you know, it says there in the Bible that he was left hanging there and the mule carried on. Do you know what? For some of us, we've got to realize this, that offense, okay, it will carry on to find the next person. Offense won't die with us. And there are people that I have met who have got offense from their parents' parents who died 20 years ago, and they're still carrying the offense in their heart. And it's not even their battle. Don't become the gun for another man's bullet. You know, we've got to be people who deal with this, because let me tell you, offense doesn't stop with you. If you are a parent in here, just raise your hand if you're a parent. Okay, I want to tell you something. Put your hands down now. I want to tell you something. Your kids hear about your offenses. And I can remember growing up, and I grew up in church, and we were not, I know this is very hard to believe, but we were not the popular family in church. You can feel sorry for me. And I can remember, you know, not when I was little, but since I've become more my mum's friend than just her daughter, we'll sit and we'll talk about these things. And there were times in my parents' life, more my mum than my dad. My dad is a typical Yorkshire man and can't see offense if it comes and, you know, smacks him around the head, all right? And he just doesn't stand for it. Whereas my mum, she's from Lancashire, and we could say something about that, but we won't, because then could cause problems. Okay. But my mom is a little bit more sensitive, and you know, people used to have everyone round to their home, and we wouldn't be invited, and all of those things. And do you know what I thank God for? I thank God for a mom who never let me see the heartache that she was going through. Because today, I don't carry offenses towards the people who did that. Do you know what? Parents in here, offense can carry on long after you do. If you don't nip it in the bud, your kids will begin to carry it for you. We've got to be really careful, because we can infect the next generation with the offense that we carry. The New King James Version of the Bible, when it talks about Absalom being caught in the tree, says this, that Absalom was left hanging between heaven and earth. You see, the thing is this, that offense isn't acceptable on earth, but it is also not acceptable in heaven. And he was left hanging between the two, not accepted anywhere because of the offense that was driving his actions. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 16 to 19, talking about things that God detests. There are 6 things the Lord hates, 7 that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, so that's pride. A lying tongue. hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and get this, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. You want to know what's not acceptable to God? When we take offense and begin to act on it. God hates us behaving like that. He hated what Absalom was doing just as much as if it was me or you. His life ended up unacceptable everywhere because of the bait of offense that he took at a time when he was probably feeling, you know, really down because of everything that had happened. The bait was set at the right time. Do you know what? Satan's not going to come with the bait when you're on the biggest high of your life. He's not. You know, when you are like, actually, I recognize that for what it is. And, you know, I'm just not going to go down there. He is going to wait until the low times. He is going to wait until you're struggling. He is going to wait until the situation explodes. He is going to wait until that illness kicks in. Because that's what he does. Because he knows what he's got to offer you in times when it's all okay is not going to look good. So he waits until times aren't. So we've got to be really careful that we don't take the bait. You know, wherever you are today, you can make the decision to make the change. Maybe you're someone who is quite sensitive and easily offended. Do you know what? We've got to work on that. We've got to work on that. Today, how do you feel about others? Maybe in your family, in your workplace, in our church. Is there anyone that you are holding a grudge against? Anyone? Is there anyone that you've taken offense with and you are holding something against them? Do you know what? We've got to sort it out. And when you go to sort out these situations, you're not going to apportion blame. You're going to bring reconciliation. So you don't go with a bullet list. You know, a bullet point list of you did this, then you did this, then you did this, then you did it. That's just sorting it out. You go and you say, listen, this happened, and since then, there's been a whole range of stuff that I've just struggled with. Partly my fault, because I've let it in. Will you please forgive me? Because I forgive you. You don't go to bring hurt to get your own back. You don't go to have the conversation to hurt someone. You go to reconcile. You want to know how great churches are built? You want to know how we don't lose people out the back door? They're built on us taking the initiative and going, I'm feeling at odds with this person. I'm just going to go. Do you know what? It starts with you praying for them. It starts with you praying for them. And then it starts, then you continue, you ask for forgiveness and you forgive them. That's called Christianity. That's called faith. And this morning, we need to begin to uproot things. You know, it makes me sad that I don't do life with certain people anymore. It makes me weep. Anyone who says offense doesn't matter has never truly been offended. Or if they have, they're still in it and they're trying to apportion blame. Because it does. Do you know what? We've got to live free. We've got to guard our heart above everything else. The condition of your heart is more important than what somebody else does to you. This morning, we've got to live free. We've got to begin to guard our heart against every scheme that the enemy throws at us. Ephesians 6, verse 11 and 12 says this, and I'm going to close with this. I'm going to pray. It says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Can we hear that this morning? Your struggle's not with the person. Your struggle's not with the circumstance. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let's pray together. struggle this morning is not against that person who may be in your head right now. Your struggle is against the spirit that is operating in your heart, actually, that we allow in. And we feel very justified, but actually, when we come to know Christ and He wipes away our sins, the Bible says that we need to live right with one another. We need to guard our heart above all else, because out of it, the boundary lines for your life are set. The boundary lines for your life, the ceiling for how far you can go in life and in God is set from your heart. Father God, I pray this morning for each one of us, myself included. Father, I pray that you will help us not take the bait. That the moment we realize that that small seed is being planted, that will begin to guard our hearts, that we'll walk away from our thoughts, that God will ask you to come and transform our minds, that we'll ask you to renew our minds, Father God, that this morning we'll begin, if we've been offended for a long time, Father, I pray that you'll give us the bravery to begin to address that and begin to work through it. Your spirit can cover anything, and we thank you for that, God. Lord, I pray above all else we will guard our hearts so that our lives can be used for everything you have got for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.